Grill and Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. I hope your feet are on the floor and you're out of bed and you're giving a little bit of flame to that grill or that smoker, because it's going to be north of 50 degrees today, man. And this is a great little winter break to get out and fire up your grill or smoker. I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob is still away. Joining me, Chef Andrew Smith, the culinary mastery, and, of course, the baritone of beer, Chaz from Schmoe's. Guys, thanks for supporting me. We talked a little bit about your fishing trip there, Chaz, but Drew, now I want to get into something that I've always had a lot of curiosity about, and it seems to be the more professionally trained people that really know this stuff, is that there, when you eat a dish, if you can put a sauce on the side of a piece of protein or on a vegetable, it just takes it to that next level. And there are five basic sauces that are taught in culinary schools, aren't there? And then everything's a derivative of that.
Exactly. I mean, when you get down to it, they call them the mother sauces. And the mother sauces basically consist of bechamel, velouté, espagnol, tomato, and hollandaise. And I'll go back through those here in a second. But those are the derivatives of what all any sauce that you're going to make, or for that matter, most soups that you're going to do are based off of. So first of all, we've got our bechamel, which is nothing more than everybody calls it white sauce. It's what you make your white country gravy out of for your chicken fried steak.
Okay.
It's just a basic mixture of milk and your roux, which is your roux is equal parts of butter and flour cooked together, and that's what your thickening agent is.
And that I've made those before, right? That thickening agent with the butter and the flour. Now, you with the equal parts, you want to cook that till it gets a little bit lumpy before you put the liquid in. Is that how that works?
Well, you really don't want it so lumpy as you do. You want it to be like a smooth, thick, tight paste.
Okay.
And whenever we're adding roux to a liquid to thicken, we do it in a hot, cold method. It's either a hot liquid with cold roux or hot roux into a cold liquid. Because if you add hot and hot together, the roux cooks too quickly and you end up with lumps in your sauce, your soup, whatever you're making. So you always want to add it in a hot, cold consistency.
Okay, so for the bechamel or the roux, what are some of the things that we make with that typically that you would use on a vegetable or a protein?
So off of your bechamel, you've got your basic cream sauce that you're going to make. You've got your country gravy. You've got, just a plethora of other white sauces that you can do. You can add tomato to it to make it a tomato cream sauce. But it's your base that any of your cream soups are going to be based off of on a vegetarian basis.
Okay. So I think that you make the roux and you put the – and then it's the foundation – that you start with, and then you could probably add cheeses to it. You could add vegetable sauce or juice to it.
Your bechamel is going to be used in all your cheese sauce work. So, like, if you're doing broccoli with a cheese sauce over the top, typically it's made with – you start with your bechamel, and you bring after you add your roux in and whisk that in, you continue to whisk until it comes to a boil. And anytime you're adding roux, you want to make sure you bring it to a boil. That activates the roux and gives you the full thickening power of the roux. And that'll tell you exactly and show you exactly how thick that sauce or soup is going to be. And at that point, you kind of pull it off the heat and then slowly add in your cheese.
Awesome.
So that then from there, we go into what they call veloutés. And velouté is very similar to a bechamel in that it's a roux-based sauce, but we're using any type of stock in that. And that could be a vegetable stock. It could be a chicken stock, a turkey stock.
Fish stock,
yeah. Veal stock. There you go.
All right. So before we go farther, how do we get a stock? What if I don't know what it is? Do you buy it in a box or do you make it?
You can buy stock broths, in box, in can, frozen.
Cubes. Yeah, right. Yeah. Bouillon cube, right? Yeah.
I tend to make mine, from scratch on a day. Usually in the wintertime is when I spend most of my time making my stocks. And I'll make batches of stocks over the winter season and then cool it back down. And then I'll put it into smaller, 2-cup, 4-cup Tupperware containers, put them in the freezer. I freeze them, and then I pull them back out of the freezer, pop them out of that container, throw them in a vacuum sealer bag and use my Food Saver vacuum sealer, and then vacuum seal those. And I've got stock whenever I want to make any type of sauce, soup, whatever I'm doing.
Ice cube trays work great for that, too.
Right, yeah. Now, I saw you the day after Thanksgiving. I stopped by for just a visit and a drink to say Happy Thanksgiving, and you had about a 4-gallon pot on your stove with that turkey carcass in there, bunch of vegetables, and I'm like, what are you doing? And that thing was just percolating there, man, and you're like, I'm making stock, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, but the cool part that I wanted to remind everybody here is that he cooks it, he cools it down, and then he freezes it in Tupperware. And the Tupperware, you'll get a little ice crystals on top sometimes, but once it's frozen, you can handle it on your vac sealer, right? So then you transfer it to a vac seal, suck all the air out of there, and it keeps for a long time, doesn't get the crystals.
Just, and you're not eating up a whole bunch of Tupperware, you know, containers.
Right.
And those Tupperwares get fragile in the freezer.
That's true. That's true, they do. So just a cool little tip there to get your – so you can make that, and it'll keep a few months.
A few months, a year, whatever, you know. Right. I usually like try and use mine up within the year. But, you know, you do it on days when there's just not a whole lot of other things to do, you know.
Right.
Today is not a good day to be making stock. Today's a good day to be out on the grill.
Right.
That's why I've got my short ribs marinating right now, and they're going on the grill as soon as we're out of here.
We'll touch on those before the end of the show, I guarantee.
But, you know, going back to that stock I was making on Thanksgiving Day, you know, that is a work in progress, I call, because for the last 10 years, I've been making this turkey stock, and every year I pull out turkey stock out of the freezer to roast and baste our turkey with. And then any turkey stock and drippings that I'm left over with from that pan, I make my stock. I make a new batch of stock with that turkey, and that process just keeps going on. So this is what in the French term, a remoulage stock, where you continually reuse a stock upon stock upon stock, and you're just fortifying those flavors. And over the years, this has kind of gotten more and more intense as it's been created. So we've got a turkey stock that has got layers and layers of flavors in it, and probably makes the best turkey gravy I've ever had in my life.
Wow. Yeah, so this is legacy sauce.
Are you putting that in your will to anybody?
Yeah.
It is in my will. And Chaz, you know, for a certain price we could move you up on the list.
Yeah, write you in, right?
Awesome.
Yeah, I want to be a write-in candidate on that deal. Very cool. All right, we got time for one more in this segment. What's the next one?
So the next sauce that we're going to be talking about is Espanol, which is what everybody knows is brown sauce.
Okay.
You know, it's either all beef, all veal, or a mixture of beef and veal bones that we use to make any of our classic, you know, brown sauces, red wine, you know, veal sauce, veal demi-glace, any of our strong meat-flavored sauces.
And again, we would use those once they get made on what kind of a dish typically does that Espanol sauce go with?
It typically would go, you use it in your short ribs for your sauce. You'd use it with some red wine in a sauce to go over a filet, a tenderloin. You could do it with a little bit of tomato product in it, which is what they call a Chiron sauce. So, you know, there's just endless possibilities, but it's that, you know, grilled roasted meat, you know, roast tenderloin, short ribs,
hey, put it over
pot roast,
slow cooked root vegetables, man.
There you go.
Right, we'll get on those here in a minute as well. But Drew, so we got three sauces. We got the bechamel, we've got the
velouté,
and the
espagnol.
We'll touch on the next two in the next segment. But these are all things that I know we're taking a deep dive into the culinary world right here. But hang with us, because learning about these things are going to just amp your game up a little bit when you take that piece of meat off the grill or the smoker and you've got one of these sauces on the side to do with it. You know, you can look these things up on the internet, but there's no substitute for having a guy here that makes them from scratch all day, every day. But you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Coming up next, we're going to get a little saucy and we might even get a little smoky. Stick with us. We'll be back. What you say? We'll be right back.
listen, baby, don't you treat me this away, 'cause I'll be